Well, hey, welcome to Venice Church. It's good to see all of you here today. Hey, relationships are complicated. I think if you've been in a relationship, you would admit that sooner or later, it kind of gets sticky and complex. A relationship has challenges and struggles long-term, doesn't it? And in today's day and age, it's easier than ever to make a connection with somebody. I mean, 100 years ago, you had to man up and cross the room and talk to somebody if you wanted to get to know them. But today, all we have to do is pull out our iPhone and download an app and swipe right if you want to see more pictures and left if you never want to see that person again, right? We have over 2,500 dating websites in our country alone today. I think all of us would agree with that much technology. Meeting someone is pretty simple in this day and age. But on the flip side, staying in a long-lasting, loving relationship, well, that's almost unheard of. That's something that a lot of us struggle to do and even have. Hey, we've created this series of talks for the next 6 weeks with you in mind. We want to help you have the tools to navigate these complex relationships because none of us just want to be in a relationship. No one wants to just be married and survive marriage, but we want to make it to the end of our life, old and wrinkly with that someone special, holding hands as we walk down the hallway to dinner at 3 p.m, right? I think, in my opinion, the reason why all of us desire to be in a relationship long term is because it's the way that God created us. Early on in the Bible, you'll read about a guy named Adam. And if you read closely, you'll see like God realized it wasn't good that Adam was alone and he created Eve, right? He created a companion for Adam to have. And I think that God created us for relationships. God created you to have a direct relationship with him. He created you to have a racial relationship and community. Once you found a good community right here at Venice Church, please feel to be welcome to be part of it. And then I think that God created you to be in a community when it comes to being in a romantic relationship with someone else. Even though God created us for all these relationships, sin and brokenness entered the world at one time or another. And when it did enter the world, it entered in humanity too. And ever since then, people have been complex. And when we get two people together to try to create a relationship, we have two complex people trying to come together and making basically a hot mess that we call a relationship, right? It's just complicated to be in a relationship. So we've kind of carved out some topics to talk about over the next 6 weeks, and we're encouraging each of you to hang out with us during these 6 weeks because we're going to give you tools and information not to just admit that relationships are complex, but to be able to navigate the challenges that come along with a relationship. So today we're going to start by looking at it's complicated. It's our general overview to the whole series. And then next week we're going to look at marriage is complicated, the challenges that come with trying to stay connected in a marriage long term. And then we're going to look at single is complicated. Hey, single people in the room, Scripture celebrates you. It says that's a good thing to be single. So be happy about it. And we're going to talk about some of the stuff that goes along with being single. And then we're going to look at sex is complicated. Believe it or not, God wants you to have great, fulfilling sex. It's way beyond just trying to create some children within the context of marriage, of course. But we're going to be talking about God's original design when it comes to that. And then we're going to look at dating is complicated. How do we start to date without having regret and pain as a byproduct? And then we'll look at divorce is complicated. How do you get past that traumatic season in your life and set yourself up for success so it doesn't repeat itself in your life again? And I hope you decide to be here for all 6 weeks because I guarantee you're in one of those categories we just listed, or you will one day be in one of those categories we just listed, or a loved one that you care about will be in one of those categories. And the tools and information we're going to give you will help you move past that without hurting yourself any more than needs to be, right? You're going to have the information to hopefully overcome the challenges and thrive. But I have to be upfront with you. I have to be truthful with you. As much as I would love to say we have some great content coming your way, I don't have any content that's going to completely uncomplicate your relationship. Yes, some of the complications will go away with this information, but not all of them, because we're complicated people and relationships are complicated. That's just a way of life. But what we will do is give you what I like to call GPS navigation for your relationships. I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley, and if you're one of the LA people that really never leave the west side, you probably have no clue where the San Gabriel Valley is. Don't worry, it's in the county somewhere of LA. And so when I would want to come to Venice Beach or Santa Monica to enjoy the great areas that we enjoy on a weekly basis here, I would have to get somebody to write down directions and follow those directions to get here. In high school, we didn't have cell phones with GPS chips. I mean, GPS was a big box that sat in your dash, and you get a ticket if a police officer saw you because it's blocking your view of the street. Only CEOs had navigation in their car, and especially my high school hoopty did not have navigation in it, okay? People didn't want to be seen in my car, let alone did we have anything sophisticated like that. Anyways, I would try to come over here to the west side, and it would be complicated because your streets are crazy. Most of you know that. You commute daily, and if you don't know where you're going, it can become a big mess. It would additionally add an hour to the trip both ways. But now, 2 years later, not from high school, but I moved here 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I moved here, and even though I don't know LA like the back of my hand, my cell phone has a GPS chip in it with software that runs on my cell phone that guides me with precision, hopefully in most cases, through Los Angeles. And I can get to my destination in a reasonable amount of time and know where I'm going. I don't get lost anymore. I hope to equip you with information like that for your relationship, to move forward, to figure out how do I get to a long-lasting relationship, not just to survive this season, but long-term, get to a place where I have a relationship that lasts for the rest of my lifetime without giving up, hopefully. So today, we're going to give you an introduction, and I'm going to start off by looking at some areas that I think are key reasons why we have a struggle of finding and staying in a long-lasting relationship. Then we're going to look at some teaching that Jesus gave us 2,000 years ago. Just a few words, but they're so profound that it will change the way that you interact in your relationship. So let's start off why I think staying in a long-term relationship is difficult for most of us. Here's this one. We have negative experiences. We've had negative times hit us. Maybe someone walked out on you. Maybe you have a failed marriage in your past. Maybe you grew up in a household where the marriage and relationship that was modeled with your parents was really unhealthy and jacked up. And as a result, you really have no idea what a real, loving, long-lasting relationship looks like. And so we're just hoping by chance that we land ourselves on a long-lasting relationship, but we have no idea what it's like to have it modeled out. Sure, maybe some of your moms and dads are still together, but ask yourself this question. Would mom rather go on a vacation with the family dog than dad? If so, there's a problem in that relationship, right? They're far from love. They might be together. And my hope is that we can change some of that if that's where you feel your marriage is today. But because few of us have seen this or have not seen a long-lasting, healthy, happily loving marriage modeled for us, we end up getting into relationships that cause damage, that are unhealthy, give us emotional pain, and end up broken afterward and wonder, why? Is it even possible for me to end up in a long-lasting relationship? Well, most of us would still say, even though we wonder if this is the right one for us, we believe that there's still a chance somewhere deep down inside that we could be one day in a long-lasting relationship. And it is possible, but we're not to that spot of the talk yet. We'll talk about more of that in a minute. So here's another reason why I think having a lasting relationship is difficult for many of us. We are not whole in ourselves. We're not whole in ourselves. Often people enter into relationships with some emotional void in their life, and they're looking for this relationship to fulfill this emotional void. If you're not a secure person, or you don't have, if you're not content in your life, if you're looking for this person to bring the source of your joy and happiness, well, number one, that's not fair to the person that you're with. And number two, you're setting yourself up for pain because no human on earth can fulfill those areas of your life. Sure, they can bring happiness. Sure, they can bring security to the relationship. Sure, they can bring you moments of joy. All of those things are flavors that a relationship can bring to your life. But to be the source, to fill that void in our life, that's not fair for our spouse or the person that we're dating. Scripture teaches this, and we'll go on to talk about this more in the coming weeks, that all of us of humanity has that hole in our heart, that needing to be secure, needing to be content, needing to find a source of joy. And Scripture teaches us that the only long-lasting solution for those areas in our life is a relationship with Jesus. Once we start living out a relationship with Jesus, figuring out what does it look like daily to live out this God thing, the product of that relationship will be security, will be joy, will be personal value, will be happiness, things of that nature, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. But we'll get into that later on in a few weeks. Another reason why many people struggle to be in a long-lasting relationship is that we are not prepared. We're just not prepared. Not only have we not seen it modeled for us, we don't even know what we're promising when we're getting married. I'm a pastor, which means I get to do a lot of weddings. And my wife and I exchange traditional wedding vows. Maybe some of you have heard these vows before. I take you to have and to hold, right? From this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and health, until death do us part. That's a promise. That's just not some cute words that are in a marriage ceremony, but that was my wife and I saying, I'm going to be here for you. I'm promising to fulfill this for you. Till death do us apart. Till I die or you die. We're in it, right? And so Pastor James, he's one of the pastors that comes and visits so often and preaches here. He pastors a church which is a lot larger than our church. His church runs about 5,000 people on any given Sunday. So you can imagine how many weddings he's doing if I'm in a lot of weddings performing weddings. He's in a whole bunch of weddings. So he sent me over some contemporary vows, because those are the new rage to do with the young couples, right? Write out your own vows. Let's get tradition out of here. Let's make our own vows up. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes when you hear these vows, they sound so cute, and especially sweet on Valentine's Day. But if you actually pause to think, what are they promising here? You realize it's kind of ridiculous and impossible to fulfill those vows long term. Let me show you this one. I promise to check in with you every day and listen with intent and compassion. Well, that's sweet, isn't it? I'm going to listen to you always with content and compassion. You really, let me tell you, even this week alone, I bored the face off of my wife with some of the conversations I have. I have a vintage VW bus. Well, it's vintage because it's old, and the engine likes to explode every so often. And if I start talking about why I think the bus in this season's no longer running and all the complications and the compressions of the cylinders and all that, she zones out. She might be staring at me, but I've lost her. She's no longer in the conversation with me. Sooner or later, you're going to say something that is just not going to resonate with them, and they're just going to, I guess, no longer listen with intent and compassion to what you're saying anymore. That's not really something someone can hold up. I give that 1 month top until that vow is broken. How about this one? I promise to always be by your side, to flirt, to hug, to kiss, and laugh with you. Oh, well, that's cute, especially on Valentine's Day. Guys, it's only a matter of time till she rolls over and says, I'm not in the mood, okay? And then that vow is officially broken. How about this one? I promise to always forgive, forget, let go, and love more. Oh, really? You're going to always forgive me for whatever wrongs I do, and you're always going to love me more no matter how wrong I am. You're never going to need to take an hour and walk off any anger that you have or hostility you have for me. Sweet, this relationship's going to be awesome. No consequences. How about this one? I promise to never criticize, complain, or create negativity in our relationship. I don't think that's humanly possible. I mean, I don't think that couple got through the honeymoon without having some kind of form of criticize or negative tone in the relationship. Hey, but you know what? When people are exchanging these vows, they really are trying to talk from the sincerity of their heart. They're in love. It's the best day of their life. That bride has been waiting her whole life for these vows. They're stoked. They think that they're starting their future together, and they really do mean the words that they are saying. The problem is they are not prepared to fulfill these promises. Just like many of us aren't prepared to be in a long-term relationship. And what's funny is when it comes to relationships, it's like we take logic that we use in every other area of our life and throw it right on out the window. Think about this. If you wanted to graduate from college, are you just going to promise to one day graduate from college, or are you going to prepare to graduate from college? Well, what does preparation to graduate from college look like? Well, you got to graduate from high school or get that GED so you can get to the college stage, right? You've got to register for school, get all the supplies you need, the books, you got to show up to class, you got to do the homework, you got to turn in the assignments, you have to be aware and participating in the classroom so one day you can graduate, right? You have to prepare to graduate. A promise, as sincere as a promise can be, can't get you the success of a graduation. What about sports? Does your coach want to hear that you're going to win the big game? Or does he want you to prepare to win the big game? Of course he wants you to prepare to win the big game. What about medicine? In the world of medicine, say you were going in for surgery, a life-threatening condition, but it was curable through some kind of surgery, and you met a surgeon, and the surgeon was so nice, they became your BFF, your new best friend, and you guys started hanging out all the time. Maybe you went to movies, you went to dinner, they even buy you gifts, maybe a shiny ring, I don't know, you love this surgeon, they're like, you're everything now, your source of entertainment and relationships. And then he promises to do an incredible surgery on you. But you find out he's never been to medical school. Are you going to move forward with that surgery? Or are you going to go find a surgeon that's been to medical school and has prepared for the surgery? Of course you're going to go with the other one. And for some reason, when it comes to relationships, that logic that seems so duh goes right out the window. And we just lean so heavy on the promise. But he promised and she promised and that's good. No, it's not enough. We have to prepare. If we're going to own up to the promises that we are making, we have to prepare to fulfill those promises. Here's another reason. Oh, before we get into that, I want you guys to know, before I just kind of Debbie down everything here, single people in the room, teens, young adults, or just single in general, we created this series so that you can prepare to be able to have the preparation to answer these vows, to fulfill these vows. Married people in the room, for the ones that have always made these, who already made these promises, happily married or unhappily married, we've created this series for you so that you can now start to fulfill some of these promises and pay back something that maybe you have been void in or negative in. Another reason I think that we struggle to have long-lasting relationships is we have a low threshold for relational pain. I believe we have a low threshold for relational pain. You know, my grandparents are still married and they're getting up there in the years, and their day of the relationship approach has kind of gone, and our culture doesn't follow that philosophy. I mean, they would say things, well, I said I do, and I do means I do, so I'm just gonna keep on doing because I said I do. I mean, we say today that if you're unhappy, cut ties and leave that relationship, right? That's what our culture and community says to do. Your friends or coworkers might have done this, or maybe they're encouraging you to do this. If you're unhappy, if you're no longer in love, maybe finding a new person is the true answer, and you need to just cut the ties and go. Something weird happened over the last 50 or 60 years. There's been this shift in philosophy when it comes to relationships, and what was originally responsibility, fulfilling commitments that had high values has been devalued. And what has been overvalued is personal happiness. What I want, what the way I want to live, what makes me happy, the way my life should look is what matters most in our culture today. And it doesn't matter if my kids or my spouse will be damaged over these relational decisions I make. It's all about me. That's what our culture has kind of ingrained into us. And I can't tell you that that is a dangerous road to be going down. Sure, it seems logical at first, but let me tell you, that is a system that will repeat itself over and over and over in relationship to come and to come and to come. Because sure, you can go out and find a new relationship, but you're probably going to end up back here where you wonder where the love went, because we're not prepared to have long-lasting relationships. Let me be abundantly clear here. This is not the way of living that Jesus calls us to live. In fact, Scripture teaches us quite clearly, if you want to know what living a Christ follower lifestyle should look like, it's to mimic the way that Jesus lived, to use him as our role model, to get our cues from him. Scripture clearly teaches us, how do we pray? If you're Catholic, you know this right off the top of your head, right? It's our Father in heaven. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, right? What about how he interacted with people? How did Jesus interact with people? Well, he lived for others. He blessed others. He healed others. And what he ultimately did was he died so that you and I can live and have a direct relationship with him. High bar, right? It's okay. He's our role model for a reason. We're to achieve to be like him. The more we grow into him, the better Christ follower we become. This is also a secret that Jesus gives us 2,000 years ago when he talks about the way how he lives and the way he wants us to live as people. He gives us three words that I'm just going to say three words. He gives a whole, it's a whole line of words, but I'm just going to stop at the three words and we'll finish it at the end of the talk. He gives us three words that if you really focus in for a moment, it will radically change the way you approach your relationships. But I want us to be paying close attention because it's oh so easy to dismiss this or not try to figure out what Jesus was trying to communicate. Okay, so here we are. Pay attention. So I'm now giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Love each other. Simple, right? Easy to dismiss, though, but very simple. What Jesus is doing here is changing the way that we look at love. It's always so easy to only see love in the form of a noun. See love like something you fall into like a swimming pool or fall out of like a chair. And love does present itself at times in the form of a noun. But love is not exclusive to the form it's found in a noun. In fact, what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, make love a verb. It's in your actions. You live out love. And the truth is, as we live out love in the form of a verb, the noun of love will make itself happen in our relationships. You know, I'm a pastor, so not only do I get to marry people, but I get to handle the crisis in relationships as well. It's like the flip side to the marriage. So usually, people do me the giant favor of coming to me, not when their relationship is starting to struggle, but like on the way to the courthouse, like a last chance stop for help, really just checking a box. Thanks for waiting till the day you're going to the courthouse. And so they come in my office and they sit down and they want marriage counseling all of a sudden. And I'm like, okay, God, I wish you were here. I wish you were here, Jesus, doing this marriage counseling right here. I wish you were the one sitting here, not me, counseling these people, because you would be able to say it in just a few words what they need to start doing and what they need to stop doing. You see, if Jesus was a marriage counselor, this is my own opinion, this is what I believe it would look like. They would come into the room, Jesus would be sitting there, you'd sit down and say, okay, what's your problem? What's stopping you guys from being in love? And the guy would start talking, well, she used to do this, and now she doesn't do this, and now she does this, and it makes me so angry. And Jesus would stop him and say, well, are you loving her? And he would go on to say, that's just it. We used to love each other, but we don't anymore. We fell out of love. And he's like, whoa, 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 buddy. I'm not asking if your love is a noun in your life. I'm asking, are you doing actions of love? Are you loving as a verb to your wife? And that's when she would chime in and say, no, he's not. And no, she doesn't sound like a wicked witch of the West, okay? But she would say, no, he's not. And he used to do this, and now he doesn't do this, and it makes me so angry. And Jesus would stop and be like, you guys just need to love each other. And she's like, that's just it, Jesus, you're not listening. We used to be in love, but we fell out of love. And he said, whoa, don't confuse what I care about. I don't care if you feel that you are in love. I am asking and telling you to do actions of love for each other. And if you did actions of love for each other, you will find love long-term as the byproduct of those actions in your relationship. Now, it's easy for me to talk for Jesus when I'm making this all up off the top of my head, but I don't think that's a far stretch from what we're looking at here today. And I think that advice that Jesus gives us to make love a verb is a good idea for us to start doing. And I believe it's the foundation that gets us to this long-lasting relationship that lasts for the rest of our lives. You can get that loving feeling back with a person if you feel you have lost it. It doesn't have to be gone forever. But for some of us, again, we find and we fall into culture's trap and we think, man, I'm out of love. I fell out of love. I guess it's time to cut ties and start dating someone else. And like I said earlier, the truth is you're probably not going to stay in love with the next person you find love with. But what you can do, instead of running off and trying to find the new Mr. Right or the new Mrs. Right, you can rekindle the flame that is going on in your relationship or is missing from your relationship. Just because you're unhappy does not mean that there is a Mr. or Mrs. Right out there. Do not fall into that myth that Mr. or Mrs. Right is out there. Let me tell you a truth. In fact, grab that pen next to you. Grab that outline. I don't care if you haven't wrote any of the words I've shared with you so far in your outline. I'm going to give you a truth today that I think all of us need to understand. Relationships are not found. Relationships are built. You don't find your relationship. You build your relationship. Do not buy into our culture's myth that there is a Mr. Right and a Mrs. Right out there. You have to build that relationship. You don't just trip over it like something that's on the street that caught your shoe. You build that with that significant other. You put time into that relationship. You invest into that relationship. The foundation for staying in love is to make love a verb. That's the key. And let me give you a little secret that's coming up when we start talking about sex in the next few weeks. The more you make love a verb, the more you get to make love. That's a free one, guys, from me to you. The rest of you are going to have to wait till we get to the sex talk later on. Hey, the goal is not to just rekindle the flame of feeling love, even though that's a great thing that could come from applying this information to your life. But our goal long term is to get to the end of our life and still be in the same relationship with that person, a happy, loving, thriving relationship, right? That's what our goal is. And all too often, we think that the love in a noun form becomes the engine of the relationship, when really, love in a noun is still there, but it comes to be the caboose of the relationship, not the engine. And love as a verb becomes the engine of the relationship. And your relationship builds into maturity out of the actions that you do out of love. Let me give you some examples. Choosing to honor the commitment that you've made to your spouse, that's an action of love. Choosing to own the responsibility that comes to this relationship, like not flirting with the person who's cute at work even though you think it's harmless, or looking at those websites even though you think it's harmless. No, you're owning the purity and responsibility that you've entered into in your relationship. Maybe it's serving one another, but they don't deserve me to serve. That's the point. Start loving them. Do acts of service. Start caring for them in that way. Maybe it's sacrificing for one another. Not like cutting a chicken's head off and letting the blood pour out, but like cutting some of your hopes and dreams or what you want to do for their hopes and dreams and what they want to do. Sacrifice for them. Maybe if you play too many video games, maybe you play instead of 3 hours, 1 hour of video games. Sacrifice a little bit for them. Figure that kind of stuff out. Maybe it's words of affirmation, telling them how beautiful they are, how much they mean to you, how important they are in your life. Figure out ways to compliment them. Maybe it's quality time. Spending time with that person can be an act of love. Letting them know that they mean so much to you that you're going to spend any available moment that you possibly can outside of work with them, right? Spend quality time with them. Maybe it's giving them gifts. I don't know what your acts of love are, but here's one thing. I know that people speak in love languages. There's a great book. It's on Amazon. If you've never heard of it, it's called Love Languages. I think the author's name is Chapman. Get it. You'll find out that people receive love and give love in different ways. And each of us have our own language when it comes to that. My wife, quality time and affection. That's her love languages. That's how she receives love. That's how she knows she is loved. For me, it's quality time and words of affirmation. I need her to tell me that how much she appreciates me in her life, how much she loves me. And when she does that, it fills my love tank up. For some people, it would be like quality time and gifts. They just, gifts make them feel loved when someone showers them with gifts. There's other ones out there. Get that book. If you want to know how to communicate love to your wife and figure out love acts or to your husband, get that book. It's called Love Languages by Gary Chapman, I believe. And it can help you communicate love in a new way. Now, let's dive in for a moment before we wrap up and look at that whole verse, since I chopped it off only at three words of what Jesus said. Let's finish off that verse. John 13:34. So I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. What Jesus is saying here is that don't take your cue from culture. Don't take your cue from what television or your friends or what the common logic that community is using when it comes to this. Take your cue from Jesus. Take your cue from him. Learn how to love others the way how he loved others. Read about Jesus. Learn who he is. Don't just know about him through third person. Get in the scriptures. Get to know him yourself. And you're going to discover these three things that you can do in your marriage. You can give, you can serve, and you can sacrifice. And if you do those three things in your marriage through actions of love, it will revolutionize the love in your marriage. It will rekindle the flame in your marriage. It will constantly stroke the fire if you have a healthy marriage to continue to help love exist in your relationship. And more often than not, if you follow this logic and your spouse is following this logic, you guys will have a long-lasting, loving relationship. Now, I'm running out of time, and we have more outline than time. You'll see a triangle at the bottom of your outline there. Don't worry, it's not an Illuminati symbol there. We'll talk about that stuff next week. Pastor Mark's up the bat. He's going to be talking about marriage. It's complicated. Stick around all 6 weeks. We're going to be diving into these subjects. I promise you, there's stuff that you can apply to your relationships or your singleness today, each Sunday when you come, that's going to change the way that you approach these areas of your life. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to come here today and to really just think about how love is performed in a verb. That if we want to have love as a noun in our life, we have to live it out in the form of a verb. Help us discover ways to grow in that area. In Jesus' name, amen.